Isn't it lovely? We were talking this morning, worship team, we were talking about maybe the holy chaos that was going to happen in these moments. And it is. It's beautiful. God is good, right, people? All the time? Yeah. Wow. This morning, our text comes from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. You'll notice that it's not an Advent-y text, but let's assume we're going to tie it in together. How's that sound? Before we open God's Word together, let me lead us in a prayer of illumination. Let's pray together. Abba, Father, Creator, and the one true God, we are here in your house. Some of us are in our homes watching. We're offering up prayers and with voices as one body, and now as we make some time, we take some time to ponder the message that you've inspired. Lord, we ask for patience. And we seek your wisdom as we together listen. Reveal to us in ways that stretch us, in moments that challenge us, that your story may come alive, and that your glory be revealed through its telling. And it's in Christ, through whom our story is made complete, that we pray this. Amen. Looks like our text will be on the screen. If you feel you want to open up your Bibles and open up to the Deuteronomy 6 text, feel free to do that as well. Whatever you feel you would be helpful or beneficial to you. I want to begin by stating, today's message by stating that I believe healthy faith formation cannot exist in a vacuum, but must be supported by a community of believers who will support and equip us and who will help us understand what it means to be a child of God and not a slave to the world. Now, over my years of work for the denomination, my call as a pastor, it's become more clear to me that in our desire to be faith-forming communities, we have relied heavily on the right curriculum or the right program, which seems to model a short-term fix rather than looking at the long game and recognizing that there's multiple entry points for healthy, lifelong faith formation. It's really easy to be only a click away to the best or the newest material and hope that alone will be the silver bullet that will fix all things related to faith formation. It was about 12 years ago, I went on a trip, and it was a study leave, and this trip was a precursor to a year-long study that nine of us, including a senior pastor, youth pastors, volunteers in youth ministry, and young adult ministries, and we wrestled with today's text, the Deuteronomy 6 text, and pondered what are the implications for the church today, especially when it comes to faith formation in our homes and youth ministry and young adult ministries within our churches. So if you have your Bibles open or if you want to watch on the screen, here's what this text says. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. And so begins what's called the Shema part of this text, which says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The Shema is a central and primary declaration of a Hebrew worldview. The word for one, the word The Hebrew word for one in verse 4 is significant, viewed in light of the fuller revelation of the New Testament. You see, it stands not for an absolute unity, but for a compound unity, and is then consistent with both the names of God used in the verse. Jehovah, Lord, emphasizes his oneness. Elohim, God, emphasizes his three persons. When I soak in this text, it feels like an anointing. It feels like a marked covenantal inclusion to something that's much bigger than I can ever imagine. So important to the identity of the Israeli nation was this text that losing a connection to it revealed a tension for them. If we look back to Exodus chapter 3, we read about Moses and God's call on his life. At the age of 80, could you imagine, at the age of 80, we're not talking 30 or 20 or 40 when we're just thinking about what our vocation is going to be. At the age of 80, God revealed himself to Moses on the mountain through a burning bush, a place where Moses had to remove his sandals because the place he stood was declared holy. God said, "You must go and follow my lead." And maybe like most of us, Moses had so many reasons to say no. And one such reason was, "Who do I say you are?" Because people are going to ask. Yep, they're going to ask. And it was right there at the burning bush. Could you imagine this? This bush is burning up. And God says, "I am." And we reply, "Yahweh," or "He is." God's identity and his going out with Moses are crucial to this story. And in the years that follow, at the time of this Deuteronomy text, now we have a Jewish people out of Egypt in the midst of a new chapter in their lives. And as for Moses, it's really not an easy task to go and share a God's truth with thousands and thousands of followers after receiving from God the Ten Commandments and learning that their lives are part of a plan that God is working out. You see, it's a reminder of their identities again. It's a reminder of who they are. It's a reminder of something, a plan that they are connected to. Essentially what they're saying, God is saying, is remember who you are. You are a masterpiece. The charge to talk about these commandments, to press them on our children, to disciple the next generation is faith, was given to the entire gathered assembly and was never only directed to parents, meaning that discipleship was their sole responsibility. You know, on the contrary, the command was clearly given in the presence of everyone. Hear, O Israel, and deemed by God through Moses as applicable to the whole assembly. So much so that it was repeated nearly word for word in Deuteronomy 11 again. And it was in front of the entire congregation again. Just like this. So yes, if you're a parent and you're a believer, of course it's your job to disciple your kids. Of course it is. Especially since you have the most time with them and the most influence with them. But church, I want you to hear this. Parents are not supposed to be doing this alone. This isn't a command separated from community. This isn't a mandate that applies only to parents and caregivers of their children. This is a command given to all of us. Every single member of the faith community. To all of our children. And not just the ones who live in our house. See, no parent should ever feel alone in this calling. Not in the dynamic that God has given us. They should feel support. They should feel encouraged. they should feel the nurturing and the equipping of an entire faith community just surrounding them and ministering to them and their children. The children and youth of our churches should be known by name and not just by the parents and the few close friends, but by the congregation, the community of faith. To know James by name, and Nolan, and Riley, and all God's children. To know each one by name. We are committed to helping them grow in the faith, both inside the church, inside the walls of the building, but also in the ordinary and everyday life. The covenant of the congregation spoken today. I'm convinced that almost every one of you said those words, that we pledge to walk alongside these children in faith, to help them grow in the faith that needs to become more than just a thing we say, but friends, this needs to be a thing that we do. Can I get an amen about that? The congregation I worked with took this pretty seriously, and I know now that this congregation takes that seriously too. But one of the things you've done here is created an opportunity for these young children, for James and Riley and Nolan, to take those mementos from you, to take those moments of celebration in their lives. Maybe it's a mentor movie token. You know, you've gone out to a movie with them and you're going to keep this token. Maybe it's a baptismal certificate like each one of these children received this morning. Maybe it's a profession of faith certificate that they'll receive when they grow up and become a little bit older in their lives. Maybe it's a marriage certificate. Maybe they mourn a loss of someone and there's a card that we want to place in these boxes. These beautiful, handcrafted, made with love boxes for these children. That's our call as a congregation. To walk alongside these children in faith and help them to know they belong. They are loved and they are cared for. Now, I brought a different box. But this is another congregation that's doing the same thing. Praise God. And I tell you this because I think this is important for us as congregations to think about this. We have gifts that God has given us to bless our communities in faith. And so I thank God for the person who built these, because that's exactly what we're called to do, is do these kinds of things for the community. What a gift that is. In my sense, I'm just speculating here, but my sense is that person who built them made them with love. Made them with love. And perhaps models the love of the Father in just a very small way. Romans 8, verses 37 through 39 says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Aren't you just energized by that? What a beautiful image of God's heart here. It really displays fully God's affection for me, for us, for all of us. And I got to say, I don't know about you guys, but every now and then I need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded again and again that God's love for me is simply because He loves me. We don't have to work for God's affection. We don't have to set ourselves straight before God can shower us with love. There's a beautiful little parable in the Bible that talks about a father and a prodigal son. And this father just runs out to meet his son before anything had been set right. He didn't know that his son was there to apologize. You know what? He didn't even care. He did not care. He simply wanted to love his child, and your heavenly father feels the same way about you. So many times in the last year or so, God's shown up in my life in ways that I would have never expected. These and other God's got these moments. Gotta be honest, help me carry on when there were days where I just didn't have any strength or motivation just to do anything. Do you know what I mean? But knowing that there are people in our lives, a faith community like this, who are willing to share their gifts, to share their stories, to share their hopes, and to love me is something that I'll never forget. And honestly, it reminds me that I do believe we are standing on holy ground. And because we are standing on holy ground, it's really forcing me to remove my sandals, because I realize that God is present here right now. God is present here right now. Jehovah, Elohim, Father, I am. My parents, you don't know my parents, so I don't know if I have to tell you this story, but I'm going to anyways. My parents, back in the day, had a wedding text that came from Joshua 24. And verse 14 starts with these words: "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." But it was in these final words of these verses, it was here that my parents used to build the bedrock of their marriage. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I was mentioning to Glenn, we were talking about a cabin that we were building, and during that time, you never know who you run into, right? And during that time when we were there, I was a gentleman who was about 10 years older than I am. He was giving me a hand with some framing of the building. And we ended up talking about our parents' wedding texts. Who does that? But we did. And I explained to him that my parents was Joshua 24, verse 14. And he says, "No way. So is mine." And so you know what he does? But a month later, he comes back and says, "I have a gift for you." I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." He says, I had somebody make this for you." He says, "I made one for myself as well, but what I'm going to do is hang it up in my house and remind our families, our children, our grandchildren, maybe our great-grandchildren, for God so willingly gives us those, to remind them that back in the day, my parents' wedding text was, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The legacy of that commitment was on full display on a certain Sunday back in October 2020. I know that was COVID time, right? But it was a time when I was able to baptize my grandson. In the presence of my enemy, in the presence of my parents, who made this declaration decades earlier. were able to be there. And they made that text and this Deuteronomy text that we've been looking at today a core value for their lives and their marriage. And in that moment, they were able to see some of the fruit of God's faithfulness. I will say this, their lives has not been easy. They've had some tough times. But in one moment, four generations were together with friends and a church community like this. And we came together and we witnessed the power of Christ. The power of Christ. I want us to think about a few things as we think about this coming week. And parents, I want to include you in that. And when you think about your journeys with your children, in what ways do we engage with Scripture? Think back to this Deuteronomy text and the reminder of the one true God in the world is highlighted through the Shema. My question for you is, which texts give you hope? Perhaps those I shared are some of the ones that you go to, or maybe you have a personal text that you go to during times of struggle and pain. I would say go back to them even when things are good. Use them as the rock to build your faith formation foundation on. And that perhaps some of those same texts can be shared with your children, shared with your youth, with your young adults. And maybe there's a story that God has placed in your heart. It's a testimony of redemption. Maybe it's a story of salvation. But it's something that our homes need to or should know. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day in which we enter into a time of anticipation, waiting for and remembering the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And during this Advent season, Lord, we will continue to have more things that remind us of this journey of peace, love, hope. But you know, rooted in that, God, is that thing that we witnessed this morning, the sacrament of baptism. Your three children were presented this morning as a faith commitment. And so, Lord, I think of James and Riley and Nolan. I just pray a blessing on these three children. I pray a blessing on Jordan and Cheryl and Glenn and Gail, Lord, and just be with them, support them. But most importantly, help them know that they are not alone in this journey. That we as a covenantal family support them and walk with them in their lives, in their journeys as parents, as caregivers. And so, Lord, as we think about going into our day here, Lord, I just pray that you let that be things that we continue to go back to as we think about the work that's ahead of us. Help us to feel not alone in that. That beyond the faith community, that you are with us. And we thank you for that. God, we thank you for your Son who gave his life over to death and then conquered the grave. All because you love us. Thank you. And it's in his name that we pray this. Amen.